Matthew chapter 13, and a lot of these comes out of the Gospels. It's things that Jesus is talking about in honor. And so I just want to kind of read these, and we'll kind of come back to them and talk about them in more depth. This is Jesus. He went back to his hometown of Nazareth, and he's teaching in the synagogue. And the Bible says in Matthew 13:55, it says, "Then they scoffed. He's just the carpenter's son, and we know Mary, his mother, and his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. And all of his sisters live right here among us. Where did he learn these things?" And they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, "A prophet is honored everywhere, except in his own hometown and among his own family. And so he did only a few miracles there because of their unbelief." And so here we see a connection between them dishonoring Jesus and him not being able to do much in their lives. And that's really what we're going to be talking about today is honoring God. And I think lots of times we dishonor God in our lives and we really limit what he can do in our lives. We'll come back to that here in just a second. Ephesians 6:1. I just want to read some honor scriptures to you real quick. And get this thing introduced. Ephesians 6, "Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and your mother. For this is the first commandment with promise. If you honor your father and your mother, then things will go well with you and you will live long on the earth." And so here we see a connection between honor and living long on the earth. Obedience. Luke chapter 14. This is Jesus talking. He says, "When you're invited to a wedding feast, don't sit in the seat of honor. What if someone who is more distinguished than you has also been invited? Then the host will come and say, 'Give this person your seat.' Then you'll be embarrassed, and you'll have to take whatever seat is left at the foot of the table. Instead, take the lowest place at the foot of the table. Then when the host sees you, he'll come and say, 'Friend, we have a better place for you.' Then you will be honored in front of all of the guests. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." And so here we're seeing a connection between humility and honor. And so let's get in here and let's define honor real quick. So we're all on the same page. And I really want to dive in here and talk about honoring God, because I think lots of times with our lives we dishonor God and we don't even realize we're doing it. And then we struggle through life and we don't understand why. We don't understand why God seems so far away from us. But we're dishonoring God in our lives and we don't even realize it. So to define honor, honor means to assign a high value, to respect, or to see as valuable. Honor is to assign a high value, to respect, and to see as valuable. And so what we're going to talk about in this series, we're going to talk about four different aspects of honor. Number one, we're going to be talking about honoring God today. Next week, we're going to be talking about honoring ourselves. Because I think lots of times we get into this mentality of self-defeat and low self-esteem. And we don't honor who God made us. And when we dishonor ourselves, we're ultimately dishonoring God. We're saying, "God, you didn't do a good job in making me." And you ultimately dishonor God in dishonoring yourself. Thirdly, we're going to be talking about honoring people, honoring the people around us. And the last week, we're going to come back and just talk about the life of honor, what it means to live a life of honor. And so our key scripture that we're going to be using throughout this series is found in Philippians chapter 2. Verses 3 and 4. And I think this, you know, really sums up what honor is about. It says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you, to the interests of others." And I think that really embodies what honor is all about, is placing someone at a higher value than yourself. Now, I'm not saying think less of yourself. That's not what I'm saying. A lot of people think humility is beating yourself up and saying, "I'm a worthless dog." And that's not what humility is. Humility is just saying, "I am going to see you as valuable, and I'm going to treat you as valuable, and I'm going to humble myself to do that. Humility is another one of those things in America that we've seemed to have lost. Lots of times we get humbled, just like we're reading that scripture in Luke, to where, you know, we want to sit at the place of honor. We want to be the most important person in the room. We want to be the center of attention. Then someone else comes in that deserves the honor, and you find yourself embarrassed. And so we see that a lot in our lives today, in the lives of Americans. And I believe as we approach this subject of honor, that we'll begin to see life a little bit differently. We'll see life from God's perspective. Because let me tell you something. God honors you. God sees you as valuable. He thought you were so valuable that He sacrificed His very own Son on the cross for you. That's how much God values you. And see, that is a sign of honor from the Creator of the universe, the one who is all-powerful and all-knowing. He honors you. And so our response should be what? To honor God back. So let's dive into this. Let's talk about honoring God. And we see this interesting scripture in Matthew chapter 15. That kind of speaks to the heart of what, where honor comes from. Matthew 15, verse 7, it says, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. He wrote, 'These people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.'" And I think that's what a lot of Christians do today. We know the right words to say. We can sing the worship songs and we can say all the right stuff. But where's our hearts at? Are we truly honoring God? Because honor comes from the heart. Honor truly comes from the heart. If honor is in your heart, it's going to show in your life. And it's going to show through your words. But so many people come to church and praise God. You know, God is good. You know, God's doing this in my life. And they say all the right stuff. But then they go home and they do everything but honor God with their lives. And so it's easy to honor God with our words, but true honor comes from the heart. It's displayed in our lives. And so this is not something that we're just going to go home and we're going to change today. Oh, okay, I'm going to start honoring God today. And think it's just going to magically happen. Because it's something that we've got to get down in our hearts. It's something that we've got to pull out of God's Word and find out what He says about honor and how to live the life of honor. And as we do that, it begins to change our hearts. And then we begin to act differently. We begin to see people differently. And that's what we're going to get into in a few weeks, about seeing people differently. Because we have a tendency to judge people as soon as we see them. We judge them based on the way they look, how they talk, where they're from, what job they have, what car they drive. And we make these snap judgments about people. But see, the person of honor doesn't judge based on outside stuff. But he's going to see everybody as valuable. See everybody for the worth that God made them. And from there, we're going to be able to treat people differently. Not based on what they look like. So how do we honor God? I have three ways that we can honor God today. And, you know, this isn't the only three ways, but as I was reading through Scripture and you know, these three kept coming up over and over again when we're talking about honor. And so how do we honor God today? If you're going to take notes, these are the three things you write down, okay? Just in case you're wondering. The first one is with our faith. We honor God with our faith, trusting in Him and trusting in His Word. Now, if we took a poll today right here, we'd say, "Do you trust God?" I'm sure at least 90% of you would be like, "Yes, I trust God. I trust His Word." But does your life truly reflect your trust in Him. And this is one of the struggles that I have in life is that, you know, as a guy, I think I can get some things done. I think I can make some things happen. I'm a very task-oriented person. And lots of times if I'm not careful, I get into this mindset of, I'm going to take care of all this, and when I reach to a point I can't handle it anymore, God, I'm going to give it to You. And in my mind, I can justify that. God, I'm not going to worry You with this little stuff over here. I'll take care of all this stuff. And God, when it gets too tough, I'll say, okay, God, I'll pray and I'll give it over to You. But see, that's not true faith. That's not truly trusting in God. That's saying, God, I'm just as good as You to this extent. And that is by no means true. I am not as good as God at anything. Because He can handle my life way better than I can. And for me to truly trust Him means I give Him everything in my life. I have to give Him everything, whether I think I can handle it or not. Because His way is always right. We honor God with our faith, trusting in Him, trusting in His Word. And I think so many times, you know, we read God's Word and we read the promises of God and we think, man, that's right. You know, all of God's promises are yes and amen to the glory of God. And until we get in that situation, then we think, oh, yeah, that'll work in their lives and that'll work in Jim's life and that'll work in their life. But for some reason, it doesn't work for me. And all of a sudden, we begin to doubt God's Word because we don't seem to have things happening like we think everybody else has happening in our lives. And do we truly trust in God's Word? Do we truly trust in the promises of God? Do we truly believe that God's way is best? This is what it means to honor God. See, if we dishonor God with our unbelief, then we limit what God can do in our hearts and our lives. And I think that's why so many Christians struggle. Because they say they believe, they honor God with their lips, but their hearts aren't with it. Their hearts aren't truly trusting God. And so we dishonor God with our unbelief. And we limit, just like the people in Nazareth were limiting Jesus and what He could do because they were offended at Him. So I know this guy. I grew up with this guy. I went to high school with him. Does he really think he has that good of a connection? Does he really think? And that's what they were talking about. Jesus, I grew up with this guy. Where did he learn this stuff? There's no way. No, no, no. And they missed out on something huge that Jesus was trying to do in their lives because of their unbeliefs. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. See, faith is the beginning in our relationship with God. We cannot please God without our faith. We cannot please God without trusting in Him completely. How many times in my life, every single day, do I dishonor God? Because I don't have faith. I don't please Him because of my lack of faith in Him. So let's look in Luke chapter 7 real quick. There's this interesting story that we find in Luke chapter 7. And this is actually a Roman officer. He's not even a Jew. He's a Roman officer. And he hears the story of what God's doing through Jesus, the miracles that are happening through the ministry of Jesus. And you know, he's never met Jesus. He's just heard. And one of his servants gets sick. And so he sent some servants to go get Jesus, said, get Jesus, come bring him here because I need this guy healed. And it says, so Jesus went to them. But just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my house, for I'm not worthy of such an honor. I'm not even worthy for you to come and meet me. Just say the word, from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. And I only need to say, go, and they go, and come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And when the officer's friends returned to the house, they found the slave completely healed. And so here we see this Roman officer honoring Jesus with his faith. He said, I'm not even worthy for you to come near my house. I'm not worthy of such honor. See, he had honor in his heart. He was taught honor through his time in the military. And he knew that Jesus only had to speak the word because he had the authority. And because of his faith, because he honored Jesus with his faith, Jesus was like, whoa, hang on. This dude's not even a Jew, and he has more faith than I've seen anywhere. See, we honor God with our faith. If we're truly going to honor God, it begins with trusting in him. And that means even if you've been saved for 30 years, honoring God begins in trusting in him with every part of your life. Are you trusting in him? The second way that we can honor God, and this is always a fun one. Let's read the scripture first. John chapter 14, verse 12. It says, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus talking. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with my Father in heaven. How many of y'all truly believe that? He said it himself that we can do the same things that he did, and greater things than what Jesus did. Where is our faith? Are we honoring God with our faith? That's not my point here, but anyway. 13, you can ask anything in my name and I'll do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me anything in my name and I'll do it. If you love me, obey my commandments. Did you see how those two things were connected there? Trusting in him, your faith, doing the works of the Father. He says, if you love me, obey my commandments. See, obedience is the second way that we honor God in our life. So many times we like to stand in the grace and the mercy of God, which is great. We need to. But sometimes we take advantage of the mercy and grace of God. We think, it'll be okay if I do this one more time. God will forgive me. It's only one time, no big deal. God will forgive me. Well, that's just the way I am. I just speak my mind. They'll have to forgive me. Are we truly going to be obedient to God? He said, if you love me, obey my commandments. We honor God with our actions. We honor God with our obedience. See, willful obedience is a sign of respect and honor. You know, just as we read earlier, children, obey your parents. Honor your father and mother. See, it's the willful obedience. How many of you parents like for your children to be willfully obedient to you? Not this, fine, I'll do it. I'll go clean. Is there any respect and honor in that? No. It's when we willfully obey God, not reluctantly, but when we willfully obey, it's a sign of respect and honor to God. See, when you say, well, I'll do this one time and I'll ask God to forgive me, you're willfully disobeying God. You're disrespecting and dishonoring God with your life, with your actions. And that's a terrible place to be. And then we sit here and wonder, God, where are you? I'm struggling in life. Where are you? Well, you've been dishonoring God all week. And you wonder where God's at? James chapter 2. I told you I had lots of scripture today. James chapter 2. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say that you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and get well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. See, so many Christians' faith is dead and useless. Because if you're not living your faith, if you're not doing the things that you know are right, if you're purposefully and willfully sinning, then your faith is worthless. That's what the Bible says. It's worthless. We can say all of the right things. We can believe all of the right things. But if there's no obedience attached to our faith, then what good is your faith? What's the purpose? Why do you go through the motions if you're not going to put into action the things that you say you believe? So many Christians have useless faith because they choose not to honor God with their obedience. And I know this is tough. I know this isn't one of those just, man, that message made me feel so good today. I just feel good about life. But it's these times that stretches us and it grows us. Because if there's never any stretching and growing, what do they say? No pain, no gain. Sometimes we need some pain in our life, some stretching in our life to push us to the next level. If you want God to do some stuff in your life, if you want God to do some stuff in your family, sometimes you got to step up and obey. And I'm not saying that we earn stuff from God. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not saying if I do so many deeds, then God will do this for me. And we're not in that kind of relationship with God. But let me turn this back to our parents and kids. When your kids are honoring you and respecting you, aren't you a little bit more free when it comes to giving them some freedoms, to letting them borrow the car, to giving them a little money to go to the movies? That's what we're talking about here. When we're in a good relationship with God, when we honor God with our lives, it opens the door for Him to be able to do some things in our life that He really wants to do. There's things that He wants to do in your life more than you want it. But He's held back because of our unbelief, because of our disobedience. It is those things that open the door for God to be able to come in and do a work in us. So how do we honor God? Number one, with our faith. Number two, with our obedience. And the last one, we're going to talk about today at least, way to honor God is through our humility. And I think we have a big problem with this in America today. Because, you know, we're the biggest, baddest country out there. You know, we have all of these rights and freedoms and a lot of times, you know, that makes us cocky. That makes us like, yeah, look at us. You know, we're we've lost the whole idea of humility. You know, Jesus didn't come on the scene and demand anything from anybody. He didn't come on the scene and He didn't strut His stuff. In fact, we see Him come on the scene and He almost goes unnoticed. You know, the Bible says that, you know, He wasn't anything spectacular to look at. I mean, He wasn't the hottest guy. You know, He wasn't like, I mean, physically, people wouldn't just follow Him just because of the way He looked. But He come in humility. And how did He get people to follow Him? Have you ever thought about this? What caused people to follow Jesus? What attracted people to Jesus? I believe it was his humility. I believe it was him coming and serving. See, he could have come in as the Son of God, and he could have set up a throne and said, "Come, serve me. Do everything I tell you to do, or you're going to die." He could have done that. But no, he came in as a baby. He came in as a servant. He came in with humility. And through that, through him humbling himself, God could raise him up. And it's the same thing that we need in our lives. We need to learn to humble ourselves and let God do the promoting. And again, humility is not saying bad stuff about yourself, saying I'm a low down dog, I'm no good. That's not what we're talking about. Humility is just coming in and saying, okay, I'm not much, but I'll do whatever I need to. I'm not much, but you know what? If you need my help, I'm here to help you. Matthew chapter 20. This is a fun little story about the disciples. I love reading the Gospels because, you know, when we think of the disciples, the 12 disciples, you know, the ones who started the church and all that stuff, we think of, you know, these awesome men of faith, you know, and they did all of these huge things. You know, you look at Peter, you know, he was the one that Jesus said, you know, "Who do man say that I am?" Well, they say you're all these prophets, but who do you say that I am? Peter steps up, "You're Christ, Son of the living God." He's like, "Yes, you're right. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church." And we see this awesome moment in Peter's life to where, you know, he's stepping up. And we see, you know, in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's poured out. And Peter steps up and he preaches the first sermon and 3,000 people get saved. And we love to look at all these stories and think, man, he's a man of faith. That's why I love stories like this. It shows they're humans. Matthew chapter 20. Then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons, and she knelt respectfully to ask a favor. And Jesus said, "What is your request?" She said, "In your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and one on the left." Now, doesn't that sound like something that, you know, some of us would ask for? "Jesus, when we get to heaven, can I sit by you? Can I sit at your right hand?" You know, and so this is the mom coming and, you know, with the disciples, like, can my son sit in you in the places of honor right next to you at your right and your left in your kingdom? And Jesus is like, y'all can't handle that. Verse 24, he said, when the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant because they wanted those places too. They wanted to sit there. But Jesus called them together and he said, "You know that the rulers of this world lord it over the people, and the officials flaunt their authority over those under them." He said, "But among you it will be different." Doesn't that sound like a parent? It will be different among you. "Whoever wants to be the leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man come not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life a ransom for many." This is what humility is. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking more of others. Kind of like the key scripture for this series in Philippians. It's hiding from me. It says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." Someone who is truly humble in life is not thinking so much about themselves and what they can get, but about how they can help others get what they need. This is what humility is. Humility is being a servant to people. I'm not saying being a doormat for people. I'm saying being a servant to people. And that's one thing I love about the heart of this church is that we love to serve. We love to serve in the church. We love to see what God's doing right here in these four walls. We love to get outside of the church and serve our community. I love that, you know, we took up the offering last week for Cameroon and we got $13,000 to plant a church for people that most of us will never meet. That's called being a servant. That's called being humble. That you're seeing others as valuable. And see, that's what we're talking about in this series about honor, is seeing someone as valuable. Placing a high price tag on somebody. And we honored the people of Cameroon by giving. And we're going to be planting a church there. And we're going to get to take you guys over there and to help serve those people and serve that church and to reach into the life of Cameroon. This is what humility is about. We're thinking of them above ourselves. And see, this is one way that we honor God, is because that was the heart of God. That's the heart of Jesus, was humility. Because what did he do when he died on the cross? He humbled himself and saw you more valuable than his own life. And that's what we're talking about. Are we willing to humble ourselves and see people around us as more valuable than us so that we sacrifice for them? You know, there's somebody in your life that just really gets on your nerves. They just really just rub you the wrong way. It might be at work or whatever. Don't be elbowing anybody now. I saw that. But what better way to reach that person than putting a high value on them, humbling yourself and being their servant, doing things to make their life better? See, this is the heart of God. Lots of times we just want to tell people how it is. Just be like, hey, you know, you're an idiot. You just want to tell them like it is. So that's probably, if I was Jesus, that's probably what I would have done. Thank goodness I'm not Jesus. I'd have come in here and was like, y'all are a bunch of idiots. I mean, what are y'all doing? You know, but he came and he served. He showed love. He showed respect. He showed honor. And through that, how many people have been raised up because of the humility of Jesus Christ? And it's the same thing with us. How many other people can we raise in life because of our own humility? How many other people can we help reach the next level in life, in their spiritual life? How many people could we reach for Jesus Christ if we humbled ourselves and served somebody who was not yet saved? That really got on your nerves, and you came in and you showed the love of Christ. You showed them that they are valuable to you, even though they get on your nerves. We need to humble ourselves. See, John the Baptist said it this way. He said, God, he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. And see, if we're going to honor God in our lives, we need to truly have faith in Him. We need to trust in Him. Trust in His Word. We need to be obedient to what He has for us. We need to be obedient in His Word because we show our honor, we show our love and respect to Him through obedience. And thirdly, we got to humble ourselves. We got to become less and less. See, this message is the exact opposite of the world's, where it says, you know, you got to be top dog. You got to put people in their place. You got to take care of business if you want to be on top. But Jesus said, it's not going to be like that among us. He said, if you want to be great, you go down to the bottom and you serve. And let God raise you up. Because you can promote yourself. You can get out there and you can work hard and you can make it to the top. But when you get to the top, what do you got? Usually by that point, you've lost your family. You've lost your friends. All the people you work with hate you because you've used and you've abused. See, why not? Let's do it God's way. If we're truly going to trust God's word, let's do it His way and humble ourselves and allow Him to bring us up. See, He has this system where He says, you've been faithful in the little. I'm going to give you a little bit more. Oh, you've been faithful there. I'm going to give you a little bit more. Oh, you've been faithful there. Let's give you a little bit more. See, if you're not being faithful where you're at now, you're never going to go to the next level. If you're not going to be faithful where you're at now, you're never going to grow spiritually. That's just the way it is. I wish it was different than that. You know, so many times we see where we want to go. We see the place that maybe it's a God dream, something God placed in your heart to where you want to go. Maybe it's a ministry that you want to be involved in or starting, or maybe it's a job that you want, or maybe it's a spouse that you want, whatever it is. I don't care. But if we see this out here and we want that, and we do everything to reach that, but we don't do anything here where we're at now to get to the next place. See, we've got to take a step of faith now in order to reach out there. It takes steps of faith. And so many times we want to take that step out there when we haven't taken this step yet. We want to jump about three steps. But see, if you can't trust God here, what makes you think you're going to be able to trust God out there? It's all about being faithful where you're at. And as you show yourself faithful, as you do the things that you need to do right here, no matter how small it seems, then God will say, okay, here's the next step. You've been faithful. Here we go. Let me give you a little bit more. And just kind of sum it up. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus nailed it on the head. He said to the crowd, he says, if you want to be my follower, you must turn from your own selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. See, when we turn from our selfish ways, that's humility. When we start thinking of others instead of ourselves, that's humility. Turn from our selfish ways. He says, take up your cross daily. This is obedience. Because it's a daily decision that we have to make to follow Jesus. You know, yeah, you might have made a decision 20 years ago to follow Jesus. But did you make that decision today? Are you following Him today? It's a daily decision we have to make. Take up your cross daily. And the last one is, follow me. And it takes faith. It takes trust to follow God. It takes faith to drop everything and say, God, whatever you want, that's what I want to do. We're talking about the life of honor. Are we going to truly honor God in our lives? And I'm excited about this series. It's not going to be like an easy one, you know, one of those feel-good ones. But let me tell you something. If you can take some of these principles and apply them to your life, you're going to be able to see some great growth happen in you. It's going to be painful. It's going to stretch you a little bit. It's going to make you do some things. It's going to get you out of your comfort zone. But on the back end, when God does His thing, you're going to be like, man, that was well worth it. What else can I do? Who else can I honor? What else do I need to do to live this life of honor that God has called us to? Let's pray. God, thank you so much. God, that you are a God of honor. God, that you honored us at the cross through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus. God, thank you that you see us as valuable. God, that we're not just worthless dogs, that we're just sinners that are just lost forever. God, but you see our potential. God, you see how you made us and what we can be. And because of that, you put value on us. God, you invest time in us. God, you invest Jesus in us. so that maybe we can reach that potential. God, I pray that as we begin to learn about this life of honor, of humility, of obedience, of faith, God, that not only we will grow, but we will cause others to grow. We'll all cause others to come to know you as Lord and Savior. God, thank you so much for trusting in us. God, thank you that you are faithful even though we are not faithful all the time to you. God, you're always faithful. Your word's always true. We can always come to you and you're there waiting on us. God, I pray that you just begin to change our hearts. God, begin to change our perspectives on life. God, help us to get out of the selfish mindset and what's in it for me? What's in it for me and mine? God, and change our focus. God, what do you want me to do? God, how do you want me to help others like you've helped me? God, thank you so much for everything you do. God, we love you. Thank you as we go from here, God, that we can be encouraged. God, that we can be excited about our faith in you. God, and that we can show that to the world and be the light that we need to be. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. You're dismissed.